Some of you are doing good. You get A's, okay? I won't tell you what the rest of you get, but anyway. Now remember, we're doing a transition this month. We're going to be changing over to just the hymnal by the end of the month, 1st of December. If you will, go ahead and turn to the 4th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. While you're turning there, I want to remind you about a couple of things. One is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, we read, "Write the things which thou hast seen," that's past tense, "the things which are," that's present tense, "and the things which shall be hereafter." Now, there are going to be some changes after verse 22 of chapter 3, and we covered that last Sunday night. Remember that chapter 1 was past, chapters 2 and 3 were present tense, and now at chapter 4, we step into the future. And we will be in the future till we are done with the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 takes us into new territory as we step into the future for all of us. This was John's future, and at that time he thought it was close, but here we are 2,000 years later, and it's still our future. So let's take that step. Revelation 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Father, as we read your word tonight, as we study your word tonight, may your Holy Spirit be our guide. Father, may your will be done in each life gathered here tonight. Use us in the week to come to tell others, to warn others, to encourage others. Father, use the gifts that you have given through your Holy Spirit to minister to those around us. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John now experiences something that one day each of us are going to experience. He hears a trumpet as though it's speaking to him. And he hears a voice saying, "Come up hither." And he goes. And he goes. Now, he didn't go, I don't believe he went bodily, I believe he went spiritually. I believe his soul didn't leave his body, but his soul was under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this point, he sees a door open in heaven. Someday you and I are going to see that door, that same door opened. Jesus is going to be in the clouds. He's going to be waiting for us. And we are going to see a door behind him opened in the sky, and we're all going to go through that door. If we're alive and we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to pass through that door, the same door that John did. And so this is what makes this book of Revelation so exciting, because as we see now, as we will look at tonight, we will see through John's eyes the same things that we will see through our own eyes when that day comes. And so everything that John describes, one day you and I are going to see. And we can imagine with him. You know, that's one of the neat things about reading a book. When we're reading, if you're reading a mystery novel of some sort, you get involved in it. You're so involved that if somebody comes and lays their hand on your shoulder, you about jump out of your skin. But I'm that way when I'm studying here at church, and some of the folks who have come into the church will tell you. I know A.B. comes in all the time, and every once in a while, Lacey occasionally, and Jimmy the other day. If I'm studying, man, I'm in that book. And I'm there, when somebody comes to my office, everything that John sees, everything that we read about in this book of Revelation, you are going to have an opportunity to see. And that's what's so exciting. We're getting a glimpse right now of what God's going to do for us and through us. But he did this for John. So, with a voice, the voice of the trumpet, calling John as it will one day call you and I. That's the voice we listen for. We listen to the voice like a trumpet, which will be Jesus Christ calling us as he called John, come up hither, come up hither. And just like Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water, when he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And he did. Till he took his eyes off Jesus. But this time we won't have a chance to take our eyes off Jesus. Our eyes will be focused on our Lord. Now, I don't know what he's going to really look like. I don't think any of you do either. We've seen pictures of artist concept of what Jesus looks like in a beard and, this kind of thing. I don't know what he will look like, but our souls will recognize him when he calls us. And there was a day that your soul recognized Jesus, and that was the day you received him as your personal Savior. Now, these eyes didn't see him because he's in heaven with the Lord making intercession. But this heart, wherever it is inside of us, did. And one day you will see him again and you will know who he is when you see him. And John heard this voice and he recognized it. It was the voice of Jesus Christ. And every portion of Scripture talks about the rapture and speaks about the voice of the trumpet. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said this to them, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And I just listen for that trumpet call. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then this last verse of that chapter 4 of Thessalonians, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what that should be to us. It should be a comfort. Not anything we're afraid of, but that should be a comfort to us to know that one day we are going to join him in the clouds and then through that door into heaven. Now, John was about to take a journey that he would remember for the rest of his life. Remember, he was on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been banished there by the Romans. And he was there so he couldn't be a testimony to anybody else. And yet Jesus came to him. And Jesus gave him this vision of what was going to take place. He gave him a vision of the entire church age, and then he goes on, beginning in this this chapter 4 of giving him a vision of the future, of what he can expect. So as we see things through his eyes, be prepared. We're going to one day see these same things in our own eyes. Revelation 4, 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. Now, John tells us he did not go physically. We will go physically, because in John's time, it was not time yet. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, no man knows the day nor the hour, only the Father. That's in the Father's hands. And so John, it wasn't ready. We're ready. And when it comes, we physically are going to go. And that's what he... So John says he was in the Spirit. Keep in mind that John went through a transformation that took place instantly. When he heard the sound of the trumpet, when that voice spoke to him, when that voice said, come up hither, instantly, he was transformed. He was in the Spirit. And he was doing exactly, he begins to tell us what he saw. Now, he doesn't give us a lot of detail, not to begin with. He gives us more, as we get deeper into the book, he'll give us more and more detail about the things he's seeing. But sometimes when you first walk into a room and are shocked by what is there, you focus on one thing. And then little by little, you begin to look around and notice, you know, some of the things about the room, the colors, the noise, the music, whatever it is. But John did the same thing. Number one, he was shocked. He'd never been on this trip. We've never been on the trip either, but we're looking forward to it. So he was in the Spirit, and he begins to tell us what he saw. Now, he doesn't understand at all, because John is looking into the future, and we don't know how far into the future. John, we know today, tonight, we know that John was looking at least 2,000 years into the future. Now, for someone who has never been there before, that's quite an experience. You know, if we were just, you and I were just to look into the future a year, what's going to be going on next year at this time? We know some of what's going to be going on. We know they're going to be getting ready for an election. And your telephone's going to be ringing off the hook, or it's going to be ringing out of your pocket as you're getting political ads. They're beginning now. They'll get worse. You know, cheer up. They'll get worse. And John is just beginning to tell us what he sees as he looks around. John gives us more detail later on. And he's not changing what he says. He's just giving us additional detail. Sometimes you do that. You're on the phone, you see a car wreck, and you get on the phone and you call a loved one or a friend and say, oh, I just saw the most awful accident in front of me, and two cars hit head on, and that's it. But later on, you think, oh, this happened or that happened, and, you know, this person experienced that. So John is going to do the same thing. He's going to give us more detail, but he's not changing what he says. He's just adding to it. So John, as he goes through that door, remember, he's been on the Isle of Patmos. Now he's in heaven. He's in heaven. And it's different than on the earth. It is filled with brightness, because what is God? Who is Jesus? They are the light. And so he is, have you ever tried to figure out who's on your phone when you've walked in from outside in the sunshine into a dark building and you can't see? At least that happens to me often. I'll come out from in from outside, and my phone will ring, and I'll get it out, and I just happen to think about something. I don't want my phone to ring tonight like it did this morning. Okay, it won't do that again. But you can't see it because your eyes are, they haven't learned to adapt to the light yet. This is what John experienced as he gets to heaven. That's what you and I are going to experience as we get to heaven. It'll be bright. It'll be light. No darkness. And no night there. So there will be no darkness like we have outside right now. So John gives, he sees, one of the things he sees when he first gets to heaven, and you and I will see the same thing, he sees the presence of God, the Father. He's with the Son. The Son is the one who says, come on up hither. And John sees God, Revelation 4:3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. As John looked at the one seated on the throne, there was intense color involved in the vision. Jasper is a kind of quartz. In this case, it was most likely green in color. So there was a certain amount of green light. And then John goes on to say there was another color involved, and that was sardine. Now, I tried to find out what color sardine is. And the only thing I could find for sardine in the dictionary was it's a little fish. Okay. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about some type of intense color. And it's probably like, have you ever seen the sun glistening off a drop of water sitting on a leaf? And seen all the different colors of the whole spectrum that hits your eye? Or if you look into a light at night, maybe you see the spectrum of all these different colors. And you're seeing from infrared to ultraviolet. That's the human spectrum. But there's more. There are colors way outside of that. They're different frequencies, different lengths of the ray, and so there's a lot of color you and I have never seen before. When you get to heaven, you're going to see it all, and it was spectacular. It was just this glistening that John was seeing as he got to heaven, and so he. What he saw was probably like a drop of water glistening on a leaf. And in the next phrase, John mentions a rainbow, which would again indicate the entire spectrum. When you look at a rainbow out there, it begins at infrared and it goes to ultraviolet. We can't see beyond that. But all the color in between is every shade, every hue of color. We can't differentiate that with our eye, but it's there. That's what John was seeing. Now, a lot of people don't think about color in heaven, but there's going to be a lot of color in heaven, colors we've never seen before. I know that many of you like flowers. Sometimes we see beautiful flowers. My wife likes orchids, and my son gives her an orchid every once in a while, and there are some beautiful colors, flowers in beautiful colors, orchids in beautiful colors. And so John was seeing all this beautiful color in heaven. And people don't think about the fact that heaven's going to be full of color. Revelation 4:4. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now John's vision begins to get interesting at this point. God is very specific in his word, and he gives a very specific number of thrones. It wasn't like there was just a big group of thrones around. There was 24 thrones around the throne of God. And who could these be? Well, 12 of them were the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel from the Old Testament. The other 12 were the apostles who had been with Jesus. That's 24. You say, well, you know, Judas betrayed him. Yeah, but Paul took his place. So that gives you 12 apostles and 12 elders of the tribe of the nation of Israel. And they'll be involved in the final judgment. When we get to the great white throne judgment, they're going to help judge. So will we. We'll be there too. But these 24 specifically are there to praise God, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, one day, they're clothed with the righteousness. They're clothed all in white, it says. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You and I are clothed in it. We can't see it right now. But when we get there, we will. We won't be in competition with one another as to, you know, what color necktie or bow tie you're wearing. We're all going to be in white robes. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And at that time, we will be righteous because there'll be no sin there. Verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, it's important that we identify the person sitting on the throne just to make sure we don't misunderstand. There's another place in Scripture where this same description is given of the events that were taking place in John's sight. So let's look at it and see if we might identify the person that John was seeing. We need to turn to the book of Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Verses 15 through 17. Exodus 19, verses 15 to 17. This is Moses. And he's talking to the people of Israel, people he has led out of Egypt. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth a people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at neither part of the mount. So this is God who's sitting on that throne. This is the same description as we saw in Revelation 5. We find it in Exodus 19, 15 through 17. So letting Scripture interpret Scripture, we can surmise that the figure on the throne was God. And once again, we are introduced to the 7 spirits of God. Remember the 7 spirits of God? Isaiah 11, 2. That gives us the 7 spirits of God. Let me read it. Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, that's 2. And understanding, that's 3. The Spirit of counsel, that's 4. The Spirit of might, that's 5. The Spirit of knowledge, that's 6, and of the fear of the Lord is 7. The 7 spirits of God. These 7 lamps are the 7 spirits, represent the 7 spirits of God. So at this point, we have 2 differing groups of 7. We have 7 candlesticks that you saw in chapters 3, 2, and 3. We have the 7 spirits of God, which you saw in chapter 1. You have seen also here in chapter 4. 7 is a perfect number. 7 in Scripture is the number for God. You say, why 7? 7 days in a week. 7 spirits. 7 lamps. 7 is the spirit. That's the number of perfection. And you'll see many sets of 7 here in this book of Revelation. You're going to see all kinds of 7s before we're done with this book. Keep in memory that the candlestick represents the 7 churches in the church age. And the 7 lamps are the 7 spirits of God. You might wonder how God could have 7 different spirits. You have different spirits. Sometimes you have a good spirit. Sometimes you have a very sad spirit. Sometimes you have a bad spirit. Some people have mean spirits. We all have different times. We have different spirits motivating us. One of the things that I note here at the church, and I've sometimes said it to Tim, I do say it to my wife, sometimes there's a really good spirit here. And sometimes the spirit's not so good because people are under burdens. They have problems. Problems that depress them. Problems that suppress them. And so, yes, one person can have many different spirits. So, God has 7 spirits that we know of. Revelation 4:6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Here's more detail for what John saw when he got to heaven, when he went through that door opened in heaven. First, John told us about the rainbow, about the throne, now a sea of glass, which would indicate clearness. John was beginning to take notice of the things that were around him. As he was there in heaven, he began to look around and share the things that he was seeing. John tells us about something strange about these 4 beasts. The creatures were certainly strange looking to John, and so he called them beasts. But these were living creatures. That's a better translation of the word that is translated beast. Living creatures. He saw 4 living creatures above and flying around the throne of God. Now, whether they were flying with wings, I don't know. Or if they were just moving around in the heaven there. I don't know. He doesn't tell us. He doesn't give us that detail. But there were 4 living creatures, and they were full of eyes. Their wings were full of eyes, and they had eyes lining their wings. Now, there's a reason for that. They were being watchful in all directions. That's what we could surmise from that. They were being watchful in all directions. And with a little more information, we're going to be able to identify them as specialized angels. You will see why I say that in a minute, why I call them specialized angels. Verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Now the Greek word for calf could be translated ox. That's what it actually means. It meant an older calf, which would make it an ox. And the third beast has a face as a man. You'll understand why I tell you that. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, some people try and read into Scripture things that are not there. And we're not going to do that tonight. I'm going to try and never do that, because that doesn't please God. But these living beings, these seraphim, that's what they were, They were seraphim, and they are called that. You will see, I'll show you in a minute. These seraphim hovering above the throne of God, giving God honor and praise due his name. And the beings described as beast in Revelation 4 are the same as described in Ezekiel 1, 4 through 10. I'm going to ask you to turn there. Many of the books of the prophecy are connected to the book of Revelation. Many of them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They're connected. And so turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel is going to come just before Daniel. After Jeremiah. Ezekiel 1, 4 through 10. And Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. I'm going to read them. Let me read Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1, 4 through 10. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. And so the midst of thereof came like the likeness of four creatures, living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces, everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, as the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. They had four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. The same living creatures that John was seeing above the throne, Ezekiel saw in his vision of heaven and the throne of God. As Jimmy would say, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now let's compare this verse with Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. That's why I called these living creatures seraphims, because Isaiah calls them seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah saw the throne of God. He saw the same thing John saw, the same thing Ezekiel saw. So you can begin to see how the Old Testament prophets gave us the information that ties to the book that we're now studying. The situation with God does not change. But Ezekiel and Isaiah saw God upon his throne in heaven. And when John arrived in heaven at the invitation of Jesus, he saw the same thing that the Old Testament prophets had seen. Verse 9 through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Our job, your job, my job, the job of every saint in heaven is going to be to glorify God when we get there, to praise him, to worship him, to offer whatever we have to him. If we take souls with us, we're giving those to him. If we have been given crowns, as the 24 elders seated around the throne had been done, those were cast before his feet. Everything we have belongs to him because he has given it to us. There is nothing that you and I have created or done that he has not done for us. And so they're simply giving back to him everything that he had given to them. And so as we can clearly see, those in heaven have one job to do. We're going to have just one job. They are to constantly worship and praise the ones sitting on the throne. Even the 24 elders involved are involved in the praise. Everyone is clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You will be clothed with it. That's the only thing that any of us will have to give him, will be the crown on our head. And they give it by casting it at his feet. One of the persons sitting on the throne is God the Father, and the other one is Jesus Christ, his Son. We are told that in Scripture. He is there seated with the Father, making intercession right now for you and I. John saw this when he got to heaven. And he's describing to us what he sees. In Colossians 1, 15 through 19, it tells us, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Talking about Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So, chapter 4 is a description of what John first glimpses when he got to heaven. What John saw was most likely what we, you and I, are going to see when we get there. And so, John tells us he saw the seraphim flying over the thrones of the Father and of Jesus. So, when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to see too. That's the end of chapter 4, and I'm not going to go ahead and start chapter 5 tonight. Any questions or any comments? Thank you for coming out tonight. Be careful on the way home. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your